To the Cubicle Rebellion podcast, clocking in once again. That's my radio voice. We are back, back to discuss some more, any and everything. Nah, so you asked about Brittany, who is my wife, for those who don't know, and whether or not she listened to the podcast. So my wife doesn't listen to anything that I do. But that's, I'm just, she's listened to like maybe a few episodes, but I say that in jest. I mean, like, she helped me get this started, so that was kind of like her out. Like, look, I helped you. I kind of pushed you. I motivated you. And it's not that like she doesn't like it or doesn't care. It's just that my wife's got other creative projects she's working on too for herself. So she's not like an active listener. I would just usually a lot of times would go back home and tell her about the episodes that I've done with people and kind of give her a recap. And she always asks, oh, how'd it go? Or who'd you talk with? Or how was it? What you guys talk about? She's always curious. She just doesn't listen. So that's kind of the fairest way to answer to that question. I was thinking, man, I know we go heavy pretty quick, but I was going to start for something a little lighter, but I was laughing to myself on the way here because I was thinking, you know, I'm like way older than you. Like, I'm 37 and you're 20. You about to hit 21 next month?
Yeah.
Okay. What day?
June 4th.
Okay.
So October 4th. Yeah.
October 4th. My wife's birthday is October 21st. So what do you plan on doing? You got any plans? Or?
No, I had a couple ideas, you know. One was just, you know, wine tasting.
I
think it's more of like the classier side of me.
It is.
Kind of like that, you know, that energy, just the vibe. It's less for the experience, more just like the mental.
Well, it connects to what you mentioned last episode with that whole poetry
right.
vibe. You know what I mean?
It's consistent.
It is. It is.
I went to wine
tasting. Not saying, you know, I was drinking some Merlot and whatnot.
Yeah, no, but I think it's interesting, like the whole mixology, biology type thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But overall, like, you know, a good meal and, you know, a good combo.
Hey, man. It's all the taste. That in that way, we were talking about old souls, and that way you are. Because honestly, man, what's funny is that, oh my God, this is so crazy. I've known my wife for so long. But you said you turned 21 next month. I remember her 21st birthday, like vividly.
Yeah.
And we weren't even together then, but we were real close. And we actually did that. We did a wine tasting.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of come full circle. It's really funny that you say that. So to say, just to give you an idea, like, that's not too unusual at that age if you're a certain type of person.
Okay.
You definitely want to, you know, experience certain things. And like you said, it is classy. It's cool. They gave us, was it 5 or 6 wines to taste? And, you know, I'm 3 years older than my wife, so I was already like, it wasn't new to me. But it wasn't new to her either. She was drinking anyway, but you know what I mean? but wine, that experience was new. I'll just say that. And it was cool, man. You'll enjoy it. It was cool. You get a little taste, and they put cheese with certain things, and it's an art. It really is an art. Sometimes cheese tastes better with this wine, and then they'll be like, okay, this brings out the flavor. If you eat this and drink that, it brings out the flavor. Do you smell that? Do you taste that? So it's real, like, it's real artsy in that sense, in terms of like, oh, this is like a real, somebody crafted this. You know what I mean?
I think what I like about it is the idea of breaking something down.
Oh, yeah. Really, of course. Of course, that's what you love about it. That's you. That's you.
You know, because if you think about us being in a specialized field.
Yeah.
Like, people don't love their job, but they love their job.
Yeah.
Like, you know, those people that have been in the workforce or the place of like just doing what they do so much, where it's like they're an expert.
Sure.
At the most.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Like, interesting niche of a thing to do mm-hmm. in a company. It's like, also, when you go here, you got to do this. Don't forget about the light, because it's light in this way, and the camera going shit. And it's like, it's so much detail that they know about it. And so when you go into wine tasting or sports or anything else, book reading or, you know, just entrepreneurship, like, it's a certain level of expertise that you gain
right.
over time about it. And
right.
people, like, I think accidentally fall into a passion. That's, of like, I know so much about this. You feel it when I speak to you. You know, it's like, wow, like you really love your.
It's no, almost it's almost if like the how do I want to say this? It's like passion by way of familiarity. Okay. You just become so familiar with something that you can be. It's almost like this though. You can become very fluent in a thing and not love it, yeah. or not even apply it to your life, but. You can just able to articulate it well, or you're able to understand how it works, or just because you've been around it. Like you said, I've worked at this for 20 some odd years. Like, for instance, honestly, my job's the same way. I hate my job, but I understand it pretty well, and I can explain it very well to people over the phone. Because, I mean, primarily because I have to be able to explain it for ages because they don't know. So I have to be the expert on it, but... Yeah, that's interesting. You can become very fluent in things that you're familiar with and not have any love or desire for it. And then in some cases you can. And so like you said, sometimes you can kind of fall into it and be like, that's how most passions happen, where you just become familiar with something and you become into the details of it, into the nuances, into the colors and the details and... You're able to articulate it, and you're like, "Oh man, I think I like this," and then you just keep going. So, but no, that's I think you will enjoy that.
Yeah.
That wine tasting. Are you gonna go? Are you gonna invite some people or?
You know, I was gonna do a family thing. You know, potentially, it's still like on the table.
Okay.
You know, because
okay.
I just kind of.
You should go to a lounge or something, man. You should go to like a. You should go do what we talked about on the podcast last time. Go watch it. Go watch some. Get your love jones on in that way and just watch it. Like go like scope out the land.
Yeah, you have to give me some.
Yeah.
Some you know some.
Yeah. Blue Room, Voodoo Lounge. Sometimes they'll have like some live band type stuff, and I don't think you'd be against that. But like, I could.
Okay.
Yeah. Get some ideas. You know, it definitely has that vibe you're looking for, that neo soul kind of Do you listen to neo soul? What kind of music do you listen to?
So I kind of stay in the it's like a R&B mm-hmm. like a type of it's a soulful.
Do you have an artist in mind? It'll sum it up pretty quickly if I can give me some. Because I think we might be saying the same thing. It's just a matter of it's semantics. But
one on top of my head is Emily Sandé.
Okay,
she's pretty cool.
Okay. Play something. You got something on there?
Yeah.
I want to hear. Because I could tell you pretty quickly whether or not I think it's something that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, she just one of them. And she was like, you know, when I was getting into like just matching my energy inside, I mm-hmm. wanted to feel that
mm-hmm.
even if I didn't have the energy to know how to articulate it.
Yeah.
I want to hear
it. I want to be in that mode. Right. Yeah. I want to.
Also, another one is, and see, I go by songs a lot of times too.
Sure, like, sure. Oh yeah.
If you see my like playlist, it's like everything.
Oh yeah, literally yeah, yeah. Everything. I got you. Like you're not following an artist per se, but it's just like you're chasing an energy. Because if it sounds like what I think it's gonna sound like, I'll have a whole host of suggestions for you, but from my era. As the older statesman.
It's this song called Read Out of Bella, and I think it's about like her journey through like a relationship
okay.
divorce, I think.
Okay.
But yeah.
Go ahead and play it.
To change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You spent a lifetime.
could tell she's a songwriter. A good songwriter.
Yeah, she's articulating. This was one of the songs I listened to when I kind of like, you know, you don't really have anything on your mind. It's kind of just like you got a lot of feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she's somebody I listened to in high school.
Okay.
Recently, okay. I kind of, you know, just kind of been, you know, filling myself out. It's like different energies and stuff.
She's
like
got a real pretty voice. Really
Pretty voice. I love emotional music. Something that's just like it. It makes you think. It's thought provoking. Mm-hmm. I got a whole playlist just on like concentration, like almost like study music.
Oh yeah,
very
yeah.
like instrumental type.
Gotcha.
So I got different playlists. One of my recent favorites was the movie. It was called One Night in Miami.
Okay.
And it was on Amazon.
Oh yeah.
Had all of the iconic.
Man. I wanted to start that. I started that and didn't finish.
Definitely check it out. It's a different type of movie.
Yeah.
It's a fictional tale of like a meeting real between. People. Four iconic, like just.
It was like a Ali, who else? I remember. Let me look it up.
Yeah, because Ali, Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Sam Cooke. Oh my goodness.
Sam Cooke.
And the last one, I forgot. It was a football player.
It was.
But the song at the end was just so like.
Jim Brown.
Okay. Yeah.
It got good reviews, man. So you said it was really good.
Yeah, and it was a particular song in there that really just represents the movie as a whole.
Mm.
And it was like, man, like it felt like me manifested into a song. I wanted to like, if I wanted to say something to myself, if I wasn't who I was, if I was lost, if I wasn't, if I was in a place where I just didn't see clearly, this is the song I would play to myself.
That's dope though, man, because to have a song in the tuck like that, just in case, like when you need it, you can pull it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And pull yourself right back into where you need to be.
The name of it's called Speak Now.
Speak Now Play.
Yeah.
We could vibe, you know. I'm curious. You all hyped it up now. I wanna I love acoustic guitars.
While the storm in your heart is raging, listen, listen, listen. Listen, listen to the echoes of martyrs praying, listen, listen, listen. Listen, brothers and sisters, listen, listen. I swear we'll never find a way to where we're going. All alone, don't dig your eyes off the road. Can you hear the bells ring out? Speak now. Speak now. Can you hear the angels sing loud?
It's definitely soulful.
No, yeah, it's it takes me back to growing up in a place where you kind of fit in, but it wasn't fitting into what you chose to fit into. Mm-hmm. It was like I was a certain way, people received me a certain way,
right?
So this is who I am,
right?
In the context of having no intention or deciding who I was going to be in the world,
yeah.
And growing up feeling hindered or like I couldn't be everything I wanted to, or it was something that was just like, you're not, there's something I needed to figure out.
Yeah.
And feeling hindered, when I got to a point where I could speak, I could articulate, I could talk, I could show myself who I really wanted to be, was like a light.
Yeah.
That's in the core of my stomach. And it's like I'm just like letting it all out.
It's like Cyclops taking off the just that beam of light. Now you're right, man. I mean, I think most, I mean, honestly, that is the great discovery of life, is really the self-discovery, you know what I mean? And it's like doing your own personal excavating, and it's like an archaeological dig within yourself. And bridging the gap between, I think we talked about this last time, but bridging the gap between what you see yourself as up here and how you're coming off versus how you see yourself, and bridging that gap in terms of like, how do I articulate this in a way that the two are one, where it's like a authenticity. Like,
everything's connected.
Yeah, everything is connected. But you have to, it takes time to learn how to connect those things.
No, seriously.
You have to grow into those things. You have to
break yourself down.
You do. You do.
You have to learn your feelings. You have to learn your mindset. You have to learn what you believe.
Right.
Those are three. I'm going to put you in on exclusive, right?
Go ahead. You mean exclusive.
There were three ideas, three aspects of life that I kind of gravitated towards on my journey of like understanding myself.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was logic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy. Your mentality, how you orient yourself, the mm-hmm. decisions you make every day. Logic. Emotions. How do you feel? How do you respond? How do you react to certain things?
Mm-hmm.
How do you express yourself? It's all emotional.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing is morality. Going down to that belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what things mean.
Right.
It's that deeper understanding of how you orient your moral compass.
Right.
Everyone has those.
Right.
Not everyone has those connected. I believe this, but I think this.
That's good, yeah.
I believe this, but I feel this.
Right.
I feel and know this, but I believe this, which is contradictory to the two.
Right.
The reason you feel unwhole or unfulfilled or you have anxiety or you feel depressed is like, do you do what you know? Do you feel what you know? Do you believe what you know? Once you get to a point in your life where all three of those aspects are connected, you almost become a limitless superhero.
Have you seen that movie, Limitless?
The pill.
You took the pill.
I think so.
I just thought about that. I think it caused him to use the rest of his brain.
Yeah.
Or whatever. No, man, that's a good way to put that. I mean, because matching your logic up with your emotionality, it's almost like your morality and your belief system is kind of like your core, I think. That's where everything kind of has to be. And then out of that can come your emotionality towards it, like how you feel towards that. And then the articulation part of it is the logic. It's like, how do I explain what I feel?
It should go that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's how I'm explaining. Yeah. I'm explaining it in how it should go.
It starts from what you believe.
Right. I was trying to think about how it should go.
No, that was perfect.
Yeah. No, but you're right though, because sometimes it can get mixed up. It's like three card Monty.
Give you what to do first before you know how to feel about it.
That's so funny.
Or you grow up
with
not being free enough to express your emotions without having any direction.
Mm.
Like, where I just am angry. I'm emotional. Just
angry. Yeah.
I have no direction.
Yeah.
I'm free to be however I choose in any moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have no direction.
Yeah.
So my emotion is bigger than my logic.
Yeah.
My direction. Mm-hmm. My emotions are bigger than what I believe.
Yeah.
I'm just doing stuff, having fun. Yeah. That's where that YOLO mindset comes from. That's where that, nothing really matters mindset come from.
That's an interesting dynamic, because you can almost categorize people by who puts what first. Okay, so you said YOLO and that sort of that temporary mindset. That typically is how younger people.
The youthful.
It's emotion. Yeah. Because, emotion is easy. That's why I think because it's just, I can just feel anything and just move off that. Like, there's a low barrier to entry. Like, do whatever you feel.
It's primal.
It's primal. It's instinctual. It's almost like an animalistic kind of way of approaching things. I don't want to think. I just want to do. I just want to, what we get, what we going. You know what I mean? Like, there's not much thought in that.
Mm.
it's just what it's just hopping from thing to thing. And what's gonna be? It's like an addiction. It's gonna make you feel good. God, I feel good.
Right.
What's the next feeling at? What's the next feeling at? And so, a lot of times people do that because they wanna being thinking about things logically can be painful. And sometimes it's an escape.
It's reality.
I don't wanna deal with it. I don't wanna feel that thing. I wanna feel this over here. So sometimes it can be motivated by just not wanting to deal with real. But
no, you're good. I was just. Oh. It's also intellectual, mm-hmm. which is kind of almost a step away from primal. If logic is intellectual, mm-hmm. emotion is primal, mm-hmm. then it's almost like domesticating your natural self.
Domesticate a cat, yeah.
You know, and it's, yeah. and it's kind of that perspective. Like if a young kid is just like, you know, I want to be free and be who I am. Mm-hmm. Who are you? You know, and anything that's directing you in an intellectual way that's making you question, making you ask that bigger question, making you look and think in a larger perspective, it's like now you're adding complications to my emotion or the way I express myself.
Yeah. That's you're adding complications that I don't want. I don't want it to be complicated. I want this to be easy. That's a good point, man. And so it's funny because then you have I think super maybe I'm just working this out as we talk, but super, super religious people who are only focused on that are hyper religious people or sit in the morality camp where everything is about what's right and wrong.
What's two?
Go ahead.
It's moral and logic.
Okay.
Because in order for me to believe this, I have to do this. But I feel mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. I need to stop feeling this in order to do this and believe this. So it's like removing one. The thought in the depth in those three.
Right, right. So what I'm saying is that, you're right. What I'm saying is that everybody has some version of the three.
Exactly.
It's just about what they put first, second, and third. So with religious people, I think it's morality, logic, emotion.
Yeah.
With younger people, it's emotion and then whatever you want to put next. I don't know what you would put second and third.
Logic.
Okay, logic.
I would
okay.
say logic.
Okay, logic and then morality is probably the last thing. No, that's probably what makes sense. And I don't know who would be in that third camp in terms of like mm-hmm. who's just hyperlogical for only and then well, second
you,
and third.
You can go many routes. You can go the authoritative, the figures of maintaining a certain order in the world, mm-hmm. parents, any higher mm-hmm. position in life.
Mm, sure.
You see
sure.
that from the older generation.
Sure.
They're very logical and moral. They don't really show a lot of emotion.
That's good. That's
I'm
good.
Trying to maintain there you go. To be a certain way.
That's so it.
That will be that stubborn minded.
That's it. Yeah.
It'll be that.
I'm willing to grow.
Huh. I'm just going to stay like this because if I want to believe this and it's almost like a mixture.
Yeah.
It's no, the overall, it's no balance between.
No. That's the point. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's the point. Yeah.
And if you see balance or give balance to those perspectives, yeah. it's like you see something different happen. A stronger spirit, a more transparency, more lovingness, more liveliness.
That's interesting, man, because I've heard people say, you know, guys who are older than me, and they'll talk about their fathers who were part of, like, the World War II generation or whatever, or just that era, you know what I mean, 50s and 60s. And you're right, they are typically talked about in the same way, which is, like, cold. Yeah, no emotion. Emotionality was probably considered too feminine. Back then, you ain't a man if you're crying. You know what I mean? That type of stuff.
Yeah.
So logic is almost perceived as more masculine. Being back then is what I'm saying. Like if you were just strictly logic and cold, you were kind of more masculine. Stop all that crying. Be serious. You know, it's got to make sense. Da 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 da. Emotions for women. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so there is a lot. There is something to that, man. That's a really good. That is an excellent dynamic.
And I wanna go so far.
Yeah, that's great.
That's like when I talk about the podcast I want to do.
It's sure.
Like, it started with, you know, just understanding, understand.
Oh, did you and explain this? I don't think you explained this on the pod before.
No. I
did you
I'm
want
kinda,
to?
I'm kind of just, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just didn't know if you wanted to.
No, you're good. And then like the another aspect is just like, you know, looking forward and, you know. Mm-hmm. Accessing elevation,
right?
And then that kind of that another topic is that emotion, logic, and morality. Because mm-hmm. I think you can break down yourself in a very simple way, and you can see where you fall short. Mm. You have that kid, that son that's raised by that single mother. very emotional. The religious people, the atheists, you can break them all down into this balance of, like, you can see it almost visually.
Yeah, man, you can almost draw a chart. Yeah. What I see is a chart in my head, mm-hmm. or like a, I don't know how it would look, but it's some sort of like infographic or something where you can kind of break down what this looks like. But it's a great compass or format of viewing the world.
Yeah.
What's a better word than that? But yeah, like, where you're like, oh, okay. You kind of fall closer to this camp. You kind of fall closer.
It's almost like a scientific method for.
Yeah, science. In a way. Yeah. It's a basis for understanding certain things, which is a dope concept.
And the thing I just thought about was like the atheists, right? Mm-hmm. They are very moral, but it's not spiritual morality. It's almost inverted morality.
Now let me ask you this: that's interesting that you would say that they're very moral, because my thought would be that they're very logical. That would be my thought.
That's the two, but it's the reverse. It's like religion directed in another way.
Sure.
No, I even said this in class. It was a film class that I had back in high school. Mm-hmm. It was maybe a movie. We watched movies and kind of did reviews. Mm-hmm. I was the kid that said I was like, science is a religion.
Yeah.
That was what I said. I was like, science is really a religion. And it was against me completely. The teacher was very logical, atheistic kind of energy.
Because it sounds offensive.
His name was Mr. Noel.
Noel?
Which was very interesting. That's funny. It was like, he was a very cool teacher, very like good perspective. Yeah. But the approach was very, it got me thinking. It was like teaching a class, but like it's almost like the bias. News reporter. It was like, you're presenting this in a certain way to make us think a certain way. And if you don't have the lens to see that, then you're going to be a part of what exactly, you're going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, it was very interesting.
Well, go more on that. So how'd that interaction go? When you pointed that out in the classroom, what happened?
That was like the beginning of me being comfortable with being me.
So what did the teacher say?
So, of course, they. It was like you being in an interrogation room. All the lights went out in the spotlight. You know, because as a teacher, you automatically had that sense of superiority in the idealistic.
I'm the authority.
Philosophical point of view is like, okay, this kid has something to say.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's humor him. Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, about a couple minutes ago, I was like, okay, what do you mean? And then, immediately, it wasn't a breakdown of the intellect behind it. It was a almost an attack of like, why do you think this?
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It was an emotional, logical approach to something that was very like, just basic, like any point of view, you write it down in a sentence. It's like, okay, let's break down what this sentence means. It's like, no, like, why are you writing this sentence in the first place? Like, it's nothing to do with what
was written. Why are you writing this sentence in the first place?
What pencil did you
get mad that, right? Right, you're bringing other things into the argument.
Why did you write that in marker?
Right.
It's just like, come on, like.
Okay, what does this have to do with what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You're distracting from what I'm saying.
It's a typical, you know, like, it has nothing to do with belief and, you know, it.
Well, here's the thing. It's almost as if belief, we talked a little bit about this, but belief is so degraded and looked down upon as if it's negative. There's nothing wrong with belief, but it's seen as beneath me. It's beneath me. I operate by logic. I know everything. I've read all the books and I've done all the things. You know, so I think that's kind of, it's part and part of what you were hit with. Now, this is the thing. When you start speaking truth the way that you did, what happens is it brings up the emotionality. Mm. They start from logic, but you're hitting a button. You're triggering something in them. And then all of a sudden, the attack comes from the emotional aspect of them. And then they start throwing other things in there to muddy the argument because they're upset that you're hitting something that they don't really want to talk about.
Well, it's attacking their basic form of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my foundation you're attacking.
Exactly.
I grew up learning this.
Exactly.
I've been taught this by not just my teachers, but my parents. The ones I love have
told
me.
How dare you?
They believe this.
Yep.
Are you telling me they're all wrong? Uh-huh.
You're not just attacking them. You're attacking their schooling. They're attacking everybody before them. Mm-hmm. You're attacking a whole lineage of people. So there's going to be some emotionality in that. Okay? But you connect the emotionality. The reason why the reason why they're getting emotional is because of what they believe. So it's all connected. They would never admit it, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's because of what you believe. You're an atheist. You believe there is no God. It still has to do with faith. You know what I mean?
The thing though is it's so almost narcissistic, like the beginning stages of that, because mm-hmm. it's like it's not even to them, it's not about belief. They won't humble themselves enough to say belief. It's because you're attacking what I know.
Yep.
We're not even going to believe yet.
I know this to be true. You're right. And don't attack, because it's the thing, if you spend all your years bench pressing knowledge, and that's the only thing you work on. Mm. How dare you attack the only thing I've been working on? If I know anything, I know that. Mm. I don't do leg days. Monday through Friday is all bench press, baby. That's how we go. You know what I mean? And so if you go straight for that thing, of course you're going to be triggered.
Yeah.
If I start talking to you about... Or even opposite. If I start talking, let's say legs is leg day, is the morality part. If I start talking about your legs, you're gonna get upset, because it's like, wait, hold on. I do bench presses though. My chest is, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I got the torso down, and it's just like, yeah, but what about that? You have no balance. You're attacking the fact that there's imbalance.
How dare you? Why are you stumbling?
Right, are you tipping over? Right. No, man, that's a great way to look at that. That's interesting, and that's unfortunate, because that only intensifies in college what you experience.
It's like they get you ready to be their army against opposing points of view.
Oh yeah,
they train you to this is what it is. Make the person that says different an outlier.
Right.
Don't think about what they're saying. Let's attack them. Let's devalidate what they're saying. Let's make them look like they're just
ridiculous. Let's brand them as insane.
They're protecting
But it's anti conversation. Mm. You don't even want to have a conversation. You don't even want to have a reasonable conversation. Like we talked about last time. Like, even if I don't convince you of anything, you don't want to talk about it.
How's your day?
Yeah, right.
What do you mean, my day?
What do you mean? Define day. Like, what is a day? Technically, if you want to argue about the semantics of words, how far are we going to go, really, with this conversation? If you're going to argue with just the, like you said, some people are so...
The word is brainwashed.
Brainwashed, definitely. But like you said, army was the right word, though, too. Because army implies that you're ready to attack. You're ready to come for my throat because I asked you something as simple as ABC, you know what I mean? And so... That's, like you said, that's the generation that's being raised and indoctrinated and brainwashed and whatnot. Which leads to the whole PC culture thing, and which leads to the whole you're canceled, you can't say this, don't say that, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'm not advocating just being reckless, you know what I mean, in terms of just hurting anybody's feelings for the sake of hurting people's feelings, but you have to have free discourse. Mm. Like, that's the only way civilization moves forward, is if people disagree. That's how any civilization has ever grown, is that you have to have dialogue. You have to, iron sharpens iron. Sometimes it's friction in iron. But the friction causes sharpness. It causes you to be sharper, both of you. But you need friction to do that. But if you're just against friction and just want to shut down any sort of friction in the name of just attacking everybody who disagrees with you, you don't grow. No one grows. No one benefits from that. Like you said, everything's connected. Everybody's connected. If we're all going to grow, we have to stay connected. But operating as if everyone's the enemy, it causes division. And it's like, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm smart, you're stupid. If that's where we're starting, we're not going to get very far. You know what I mean? If you're in it to divide, then how can we grow, not just individually, but as a country, as a society? How do we move forward?
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. you are taught to not ask questions. You're taught to, you know, mm-hmm. follow directions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It makes me think about sports, like on Sundays. Mm-hmm. The biggest event in America now is like the Sunday football.
Right.
It's a competition. It's almost a war. To yeah, yeah. Against each other, but they're fighting. It's not intellectual.
Oh no. Yeah.
It's just strength. It's it's rep. It's it's fan base. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Imagine a world where there were the base as big as Sunday football. The top intellects going against each other. The type of culture you would see.
Wow. Huh.
He articulates himself like no one else. He pulls things from history like no one else.
You know what's interesting?
He dismantles your point like no one else.
That is an excellent exercise in a creative way to it's an excellent exercise in the imagination. Because to take Monday football, Sunday night football as an example and just flip it with something more intellectual, that is an interesting picture because that's something that you would never see. I think the closest thing that you would that is some kind of terrible version of it, but the closest thing you would see to it is the political debates. It's like that's really like the closest thing you would see to it, but that's even like
it's not even
what it is. You know what I mean? It's just not even.
It's like the what do you call it? Okay, so you know how they make movies and then they make like parodies of the movie. Mm-hmm.
That's good. It's like Scary Movie.
Exactly.
Of the horror movie. Exactly. It's like, oh, this is the funny version. Oh, okay. You guys are hitting the notes of the thing, but it's not really anything here. You know what I mean? That's a great analogy, man. But you know what? That would be interesting because it would really reflect what our culture valued and what is valued now. We value the money is put behind what we value. You know, there's a lot of money in sports. And I love sports. I ain't got nothing against sports, but I'm just saying that like there's just no there's no alternative on that level.
Because the thing is, when you're so powerful enough where you can teach value is something that you decide naturally or should be able to decide naturally from birth. Like, this is the things I love. This makes me fulfilled. This brings me peace. This brings me happiness. This brings me encouragement. This brings me, you know, whatever it is that you want to bring yourself in life.
Right.
But when you can be strong enough to say, this is how you value. For one, it gives them more control. It gives them more, like, almost like social engineering in a sense, which is a real thing if you really think about it. As far as, like, the school system, as far as, like, you know, colleges, it's all like social engineering.
It is.
When you can direct someone in a point where like this is the biggest of the big, NBA, NFL, these are the heights. You think about the career and the pay.
Sure.
They're paid that much because of the value that I've told you to value. WNBA, same arena, same area, not nearly as value. So that tells you there's something about almost like physical type things that. It doesn't have to be valuable, but we make it valuable.
We decide what's valuable, and by we I mean humanity. But more specifically, like you said, people who you can put money behind a certain thing to push it, to brainwash people to think that it's valuable, and say value this, value this, value this, value this on your commercials, on your phone. Value. If you have enough money, you can pump value into the culture. You know what I mean?
It makes you think why they chose football. The companies, the media, they chose football for a reason.
Well,
football doesn't inspire revolutions.
Well, there's this term called bread and circus. It's I think a queen or a king quoted that, basically saying give them bread and circus, meaning make sure the emphasis is basically give the people, distract the people with food and entertainment, bread and circus, and they won't do what you're saying. They won't think. We want to keep them dull. And like I said, I love entertainment, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is that lopsided, you know what I mean? And there's this like an imbalance, you know, like you said. And so there's a lot of not just football, basketball, whatever. Like, we talked about this last time. We get off work, I want to trip my brain off. I don't want to think. I want to turn on the game. And it keeps you in the consumer mode. I'm consuming. And consuming can happen as well as consume me. Yeah. Take you being washed over with the commercials, washed over with the images, washed. You just let yourself being washed over with things, and so whoever is in control of that has a lot of power, because they can tell me anything. They can sell me anything. They can promote anything. Now the phone is the new version of that, because we're always on our phones. But anything that I can put money behind, have enough money to put money behind, they have a lot of power, because they can just pump anything. I heard this something very interesting about TikTok. I heard someone say that in, it might have been China, but they said that the algorithm in TikTok in China is very different than the one in America, because, and you already know what I'm gonna say, but the one in China, the algorithm promotes and prioritizes engineering and things that will benefit society. So the kids are scrolling and scrolling up like channels, but they're seeing the things that they want them to see, which are more edifying, you know what I mean? Things that are more beneficial to their mind.
They make a strong society.
Yeah.
They're teaching them martial arts. They're teaching them education, engineering, how to control your phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coding,
yeah,
circuits, boards, mm-hmm. creation, all yep. that type of stuff is developing a society to be the biggest and the best.
Right.
You take a very powerful nation and give them knowledge, give them training, give mm-hmm. them, you know, it's like they're going to be a powerhouse.
Right.
We're over here looking at Sunday football, and you got a nation that's just mm-hmm. biggest in population. Very smart. Right. They come over here and dominate.
Yeah.
And it's just all not talked about.
You know what's interesting though? It's a messy argument, because you're right. Because all I can think about is that is good what they do. They are pro nation, pro building up the country, and pro, you know, domination, right? But that all stems from how their government works too, which is communism. Like it's a different emphasis when you operate your government differently. They also have more censorship. You also can't say nothing. There's no individuality at all over there. You only exist for the good of everybody else, mm-hmm. and for the good of the majority. There's nothing wrong with that to a degree, you know. But you also stomp out any divergent thinking, like we talked about last time. Anybody who thinks like, maybe we can do this differently. Nah, we ain't doing that. We were doing, you know what I mean?
I mean, well, think about if they did that with us. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be very logical. You can promote strength. You can promote, you're choosing the mechanisms that you do have in the system.
Right.
You're about growth, you're about strength, you're about development, mm-hmm. knowledge. Very a very positive things, but
yeah.
break it down to three. Mm-hmm. You still got that morality that's at the top. See, now you have a dynamic where the morality is the biggest thing.
Mm.
But the way we see it is in a very emotional and
yeah.
logical way, like go to school,
right.
argue, don't mm-hmm. like opposition, mm-hmm. be whatever you want to be.
Right.
They're teaching emotion and logical. They're telling you what to do. They're telling you how to feel about the things that you see. Mm-hmm. But they have the dominating morality. And it's because we're in a system that promotes not really caring, but showing an emotional response towards something in a form of belief. Mm-hmm. It has the form of like, oh, positivity, inclusiveness. We don't want to offend anybody. Those are great things. I don't want to offend anybody. But what's the dominant? What's your intention behind that?
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Right. No, you're right. I see what you're saying. It's how do I put this? It's like you're promoting. You're using the good words, but the intention behind using those good words is not good. So I hear. Oh, don't offend anyone. You don't want to offend anybody, do you? Oh, we all have to be healthy, right? Like, and it's like, yeah, what am I going to do? Arguments not being healthy and being pro, like, I'm not just trying to start a ruckus, you know what I mean? Or just be offensive, you know what I mean? But,
anarchy.
You know what I mean? But it's using the right words for the wrong reasons. That's what I'm trying to say. Right words for the wrong reasons. And that's the slickness of it all. It's like a snake oil salesman. It's like the gift of gab. I can kind of talk you into this. And if I say all the right words, how are you going to really refute it if I frame it a certain way? Unless you're really thinking about not what I'm saying, but what's behind what you're saying. So, okay, I hear it's like the bouncing ball when you see those musicals and the bouncing ball is bouncing on each word and it's like singing along, whatever. You're bouncing, the ball is bouncing on the right words. Mm. You're saying the right things. But what's in between those? What do you mean by that? Because I'm starting to feel something different than what you're saying. You're saying A, B, and C, but what I'm feeling is X, Y, and Z. You know what I'm saying? And the truth is in what's behind it. Not in the words. Yeah. It's in what's behind the words. It's in what's, like you said, the intention. What's the motivation here? What you're saying, I get it. But where is this coming from? You know what I mean?
It makes people very volatile.
Yeah.
And the system that is benefits from something being volatile is like, I think about communism, and I also think about capitalism, specifically capitalism, because that's what we are, what we're kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The stock market, it's all about ups and downs,
the
Forex, you know, whatever it is, it's all about those stocks. Boom, can you catch the highs? Are you willing to ride the lows? Are you going to wait long enough being at the bottom until it gets high again? Right. It's like, it's all about something, it being volatile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you create a society where they're not teaching how to become successful and stay successful.
Right.
They're not teaching them how to love yourself and continue to love. Right. How to sustain the good things. Right. It's all about getting a high and being hooked on something.
Yeah.
I gotta get this high.
Ooh.
And now that it's gone, I gotta get another high again.
I gotta get it again. Yeah, I got it. And it's addiction training. Because it's just, you're just being trained to be addicted. You know what I mean? I mean, I was just about to say, it's addiction training.
Literally.
Because, hey, so check this out, right? I read, heard, saw somewhere that, dude, the engineering in this little this black rectangle right here is so powerful and so, like you said, social engineering is so locked into who we are. They've hacked our brains with how humans operate, right? So, the very act of when you're on social media, the very act of swiping up, swiping left, swiping up, the very act of doing that mimics the slot machine. When you're at a slot machine, it's mimicking that motion. They understand something about the physicality of a human being doing that motion up and down, up and down. The high people get from a casino is the same high we get from being on our phones. And that is intentional. That is highly intentional. And so, like I said, and look, I'm not saying this from a place of like, I've figured it out, because I'm still on my phone. You know what I mean?
It's the awareness.
Yeah, it's just the awareness. Yeah, right. I'm just aware of it. I'm aware of what it's doing. but you know, it's like anything else. You have to figure out how to wean yourself away from it or find some sort of balance with it. But you know, like, I've been to the casino before. I'm not addicted. I've tried it before. but the fact of the matter is that it's that gambler's mentality. The training is to live our lives with the, sort of this risk based approach.
I mean, the biggest rule in like entrepreneurship, I think, is like, or something that I think a lot of entrepreneurs live by, is don't be afraid to take risks.
That's true.
Which is a great motivating.
Yeah.
Forward-looking point of view, but it's like you're still inside of a worldly mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I mean, nothing wrong with calculated risk. Nothing wrong with. You know, it's funny, man. because even me trying to figure out, like, because I want to be an entrepreneur in some way, shape, or form, but you're right, there is, you try to mitigate and calculate risk and say, okay, what's the best route, what credit card should I get. I was talking to a friend this past week, and I've been doing a lot of financial studying, and they were just saying how the game works financially in America, which is a whole other conversation. But man, what you can use a business credit card for, and the ways, the benefits that businesses get versus what you get as a person, that goes back to that. I didn't get a chance to read it because I had a phone situation, but I know we were talking about America being a corporation. It really just affirms that whole idea, because I'm like, man, if you think like a business, you can get a lot further in America, which is a business, than you could just as an employee, i.e. a citizen of that business.
Right. They want to get the most they can out of you.
Yeah.
And I have no knock on entrepreneurship. I want to be an
entrepreneur. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, right, right.
But it's like, I don't want to just be another factory in this company. Oh, got another unit coming in.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
Look at it.
Right.
Let's get it started.
Right.
You know how to manage it. Let's get it going. Boom. Efficient. Automated.
Yeah.
Making money. I don't want to become another.
Become another.
A number, in a sense.
Right. Soulless. Lifeless.
Yeah. And then as far as the phones, too, you take more of a hardware approach to it. Like, every time a new iPhone comes out, we're trained to look at the next one. This is never enough. So it's the, again, the
training. Right. It's so funny to use that example specifically, because I have a specific story to go with that. So just this past week, I mean, it's nothing too deep, but it's just funny you mention it. Just this past week, my phone, I had the iPhone 10. It literally started, because when I get a phone, I hold on to it. I just ride it till the wheels fall off, right? I'm just lazy. I'm like, this is fine. This is cool. This is good enough. Not to knock anybody that's up on technology and likes that stuff. I just don't care enough to. Yeah. I'm not that guy to that degree. I like nice stuff, but I'm not gonna be like, ooh, the next one's coming out. Ooh, the next one's coming out. Like, I'm not that guy. I've held that phone for 4 or 5 years and was like, I'm cool. It's fine. But I had the iPhone 10, and it started to do this thing called ghost touching. I had to like look it up. But the phone, when you're operating your phone, you know, you swipe and you move, you select things, it started to do that on its own. It was almost as if it got hacked. Like, you know how when you have an issue on your computer and somebody has the remote control in and they start, it was like that, but on your phone. Well, I was like, what in the world? It was like glitching out and just selecting things and moving things around. It was like really freaky. I was like, I've never seen this before. So, long story short, I was like, I can't do this. It's going to drive me crazy. So I had to go get another phone. I got the iPhone 13. I was thinking about getting the 14, waiting, but I was like, I can't
wait. Wait, there's a 14?
Huh?
There's a 14?
There's a 14 coming out. Oh, like, wow. Almost, I think it's either this week or next week. It's coming out, like coming up. And I was like, should I get that one? But there's not much difference between the 13 and the 14.
That's crazy.
What? Why you said that?
I didn't know the 13 was out.
No, that's funny. Yeah, yeah. But this is the thing. I was forced to update. I didn't know either. You know what I mean? So, but my point is that, like, it's funny that you mentioned that, because which we are trained to, you know, keep up, you know, and, you know, there are people, like I said, my dad's a big tech guy. He loves new stuff and whatever. I'm like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like you said, like anything is balanced. But,
yeah.
You know, man, it's.
I think overall, like, when you face with, you know, that choice to say something against, like, things that are already happening, like, you know, to speak out in class, I think the important thing to do is just build yourself to the point where you're not afraid, you're no longer anxious or have that social anxiety, because they teach us social anxiety. They teach us to be, you know, afraid to speak out, you know, not necessarily to say things that are different from the room, match energy. And it took me a lot to get to that point where I could speak out in a classroom that was different, not just to tell jokes and laugh.
Well, hey, man, you learned that you learned that earlier than I did, and that's kudos to you, because I love the fact that you exercised that early and had enough boldness to do so, because that's the ground, the training ground you sharpen your sword at, you know what I mean? And you continue to, you know, sharpen it each day, you know what I mean, with one conversation at a time, and you learn to build that muscle, you know, and it's important. You got there way quicker than I did. Like, I've kind of reached that later, which is why it's easier for me to do this now. But, yeah, man, it's important to exercise that muscle because you need people who are going to be able to articulate themselves and how they feel in an honest but empathetic way. And a lot of times you don't get those two things together. Sometimes people just feel like they can just be honest just without any sense of regard of people.
Truth logically, but not truth spiritually.
Yeah. And spiritually, it speaks to the empathy and the you know, your fellow man, and like, you know what I mean, and connecting and making sure they're connecting, not just powering over somebody with your knowledge and just making them feel small. I'm not in it to make you feel small. That's the difference. A lot of times, people who know a lot of things are in it to make other people feel smaller. You know, and I pride myself in being someone that's into understanding things, but also trying to be like, I'm not like looking down on you when I talk. I don't want you to ever get that impression or feeling when you communicate with me. I want you to feel like that I'm alongside with you, that we are side by side. I'm not standing up over you. I'm sitting down next to you. You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't. That's what a lot of people who are shouting on Twitter don't understand, and shouting on, like, you know, they don't understand, like, what are we doing, man? What's your motivation? You know what I mean? Like, again, motivation, intention. But a lot of people don't deal with that intentionality because that's the spiritual world, the soul part of things, where that takes time to really assess, like, I'm saying this, but do I mean this? Well, I'm saying this, but what am I in this for?
It's like they live their life being a piece of a pod, not knowing that they can be the whole thing. Like, you can be the whole thing, like, but you're just playing one role of what you could be. Just being emotional. Have you thought about your words?
Have you thought about its impact? You could be, well, when you say the whole pie, what I think about is the word well-rounded. When you are the whole pie, you become well-rounded. And there's a sense of, like, I can talk that, but I don't, you know, I'm also thinking about these other things too, like logically, emotionally. Like, let's just all kind of figure this out. You know what I mean?
That whole pie will benefit the cookout.
The cookout. I love it.
Then the piece of the pie.
Yeah, that's dope. Nobody want no one slice of pie at the cookout, man. Like, you gonna bring just one slice just for you? And but even that how silly of an example that is, it just shows how it's just selfish. Yeah. You just brought one slice, you didn't think about nobody else. That's the next question, right?
Or in a sense, the cookout is the world, and you're, you know, bringing yourself.
Oh, sure. You know,
what are you bringing to the world?
That's good. What are you bringing? Are you bringing just one slice of one part of you, or are you bringing a well-rounded, well-cooked?
You need a group of you to achieve what one person can
do. Yeah, that's good. It's like, you gotta break yourself up. You the emotional one, you the logical one.
Let's stand together.
Yeah, right, you gotta come together.
There's a group that comes to mind when I think about that.
Who's that?
No, it's like...
You said a group?
It's a group that comes to mind when I think about it.
Oh, I thought you actually had a group in mind.
Yeah, like different groups.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, but that's true, though. Like, that's
I do. Funny.
No, you just don't want to say. No, but that's a good point, though, is that I've never been a fan of groups anyway. just groups annoy me because, it, for many reasons, because it's just like, that's a good answer, but groups are annoying.
Oh yeah.
Just because you get into groupthink, and people who are a part of groups tend to get lost in groups.
No, seriously. In high school, there was like a senior section in the table, and you know, I would kind of sit with the seniors, of course, the guys and stuff like that. Definitely was like that energy there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the type. I could take control of a conversation really fast. Like, I remember one day at lunch, we was talking about taco soup. Just the whole, like, what is taco soup? What is this? And it was just like, you know, you see everybody come out in their different perspectives. Yeah. They all like, it's stupid.
Yeah.
You know, then, you know, and what I had to focus on was that individual.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take this. What do you mean there?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about
it.
That's the idea of like isolating a point of view and not letting the group intimidate you out of being an individual. Because they're going to tell you, hey, you need to think like us.
That's good.
But you're not going to have nearly the position that I have in the group now. You got to work your way up.
That's good.
You can join the group, but you're going to be right here, know your place.
You know? That's good.
And it's like, if you learn to be able to break down, like, okay, in this area of life, what does this mean? How do you learn this? Mm-hmm. And take it one by one. Because that group's going to attack you all at once. But until you know how to separate yourself and focus on one thing at a time, you're not going to get anywhere.
You know, you said something. You said something about the group. It's like you join a group, you could be the 12th person out of 12. One of 12, you're the 12th person at the bottom of that totem pole, so to speak. But if you're one of one, you're the first. And so what that's the approach that you took, where you're like, I'm amongst this group, but I'm not joining this group because I don't want to be at the bottom of this group for entry. So I'm going to take my perspective and just hold my perspective down. And when I speak, I'm not going to go one on 12. I'm going to go one on one.
But you're stronger in that sense, because that you group are. Is not together. They're not
right, right, right.
They don't
right.
know each other. Right, they're not right. in control of this person saying this at the right time. And this. With me, I'm full control.
Yeah.
And when you get full control of every aspect of yourself, you're able to create so much more than mm-hmm. a potential group.
That's true.
Especially a very disorganized, mm-hmm. disagreeable, not on the same page type of group. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, when you have full command of who you are, you can take control of a situation if it's one-on-one, because nine times out of ten, most people don't have that about themselves. So like you said, it's like if I can point out one issue that's wrong with your argument in a way, if we're one-on-one, then I might be able to debunk two or three other things you might think too. Let's just focus on this one, because one is just like a domino effect. I'll probably hit two or three things while hitting that one.
It's connected.
Exactly, exactly. But that's like some art of war type stuff. But the art of conversation. No, but that's real, man, and that's very intelligent, man, of you to even think of, because that's just intelligent discourse, man.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the idea of when you go out into a space, when you go out and present yourself, in front of people. Mm-hmm. Tell yourself or have that mindset that you are the world,
right,
and people are coming to you. Mm-hmm. You're not just coming into other people's world,
right,
as one person. You are bringing
the whole world of,
to this galaxy.
Yeah, system. There you go. You are bringing the world.
Exactly.
Because you spent that time. You're bringing all of you. You're bringing what you said, the logic, the emotion, and the morality. You know what I mean?
And
I think on that note, we should probably end because it's 9 o'clock and they're going to kick us out pretty soon. So if you enjoyed this, like it, rate, subscribe, review. We appreciate you listening. Now get back to work.
Time to get paid, blow. Time to get paid. Time to get paid, blow up like. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. And if you don't know, I'm blowing up like you thought I would. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Promise it's all good. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. And if you don't know, I'm blowing up like you thought I would. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. It's all good. Get paid. 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 Get paid